My name is Reginald Alonzo Coleman. I am married to my best friend, the radiant Kimberly Coleman. And I'm the papa of two phenomenal sons who I'm so proud of, Sean, who's in the audience, and Michael, who should be looking at it at Zoom. So today the Barnes are away. They're visiting an island, not a Caribbean island, not a tropical island, but Staten Island, the home of the Wu-Tang Clan. So today, Sean Barnes is preaching to the Staten Island Church this morning. So today, I will continue with the sermon series, Christ, We Adore You. The title of today's message is, Why Should We Adore Christ? To adore means to regard with deep love, respect, or admiration. It's often used to describe a feeling of intense affection, reverence, a devotion towards something or someone. After I share a bit about my spiritual journey that led me to adore Christ, we will look at a scripture about why everyone should adore him. Before I was a disciple of Christ, I did not adore him or even know why I should adore him. It was difficult for me to have deep love, deep respect, or admiration for Christ when I was younger because I didn't understand who he was, what he did, or what he stood for. I had a general knowledge of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus for myself. I remember when I was a child, I went to Baptist Sunday school. And if anyone knows what Baptist Sunday school, it's all day. And I heard plenty of stories about him, but I only went because my parents made me go. So I know some of the young people in the audience are feeling the same way, so I understand. I heard the stories, but I didn't really listen. Once I was given a choice regarding whether or not to attend church, I stopped going. Looking back, I wish I had taken that time I spent in Sunday school more seriously. Throughout my teenage years, I would hear about Jesus in different ways, either from overhearing my parents watching televangelist Frederick Price every Sunday morning on TV, or overhearing them listening to a sermon on the radio. Yes, I am aging myself. There was no podcast. There was no YouTube. There was no TikTok options. It was just TV, radio, or in person. Once and again, I was not really paying attention, but I heard things here and there about Jesus. I didn't search for the answer myself because I didn't care to. I would hear other thoughts and opinions, including my parents, about Jesus, but I didn't have my own personal relationship with him. As I went through college, the topic of Jesus would come up with schoolmates and acquaintances from time to time. Once again, I was just hearing other people's opinions and not looking at God's word for myself to gain my own relationship with him. It wasn't until I was in my 20s that I wanted to know God for myself. I would try to read the Bible, but I would always start reading straight through from the beginning in Genesis, but then I would stop losing interest when I got to Leviticus. So yes, sadly, I would make it past the third book of the 66 books found in the Bible, and I did this many times. Start with Genesis, stop at Leviticus. When I was around 23, I had a coworker from the church who pointed me in the right direction. He said that for me to get to know Jesus, it would be helpful for me to start by reading one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and I did. I needed to look at the scriptures about Jesus' life and death for myself. That's when I actually started to understand why I should adore Jesus. I found that scriptures throughout the entire Bible, not just the Gospels, gave me many reasons why everyone should adore him. Looking back, I realized that I would never truly be capable of loving or adoring Jesus until I made a decision to get to know him for myself through the scriptures. Today we are focused on one main scripture about adoring God. Let's look at Hebrews 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1, verse 3, it says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." In this passage, we see a beautiful description of Jesus Christ. It shows us the greatness of Jesus, his relation with our God, our Father, and his sustaining power. Jesus truly is the shining reflection of the glory of God. Again, the title of the sermon is "Why Should We Adore Christ?" Again, there are many reasons why we should, but today let's examine three reasons why we should adore Christ based on Hebrews 1, verse 3. Before I give those three reasons, let me read the Amplified Bible version of this scripture since I find it more descriptive. So Hebrews 1, verse 3, the Amplified version. "The Son is the radiance and only expression of the glory of our awesome God, reflecting God's Shekinah glory, the light being the brilliant light of the divine, and the exact representation and perfect imprint of his Father's essence, and upholding and maintaining and propelling all things, the entire physical and spiritual universe, by his powerful word, carrying the universe along to his predetermined goal, when he himself and no other had, by offering himself on the cross as a sacrifice for sin, accomplished purification from sins and established our freedom from guilt. He sat down, revealing his completed work at the right hand of the majesty on high, revealing his divine authority." So here are the three reasons we will discuss this morning. Reason one: Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God's being. Reason two: Jesus Christ sustains all things by his powerful word. And reason three: Jesus Christ provided purification for our sins. So we're going to start at reason one. Again, Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God's being. When I think of exact representation when it comes to people, I think of identical twins. I think of these famous twins. I think of Tia and Tamara Mori. Everyone knows them from Sister, Sister. I won't go Sister, Sister, but yeah, Sister, Sister. I think of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen from Full House. That's when they're older. We all remember them when they were the cute little babies. I think also of Cole and Dylan Sprouse. Yeah, they're growing up now, yes. That's from The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. Some may know Cole from Riverdale. And then I think of Rhonda and Tiki Barber. Rhonda is from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was a cornerback. And Tiki was from our New York Giants. Even though I'm a Jets fan, please pray for me. But yes, Tiki Barber for the Giants. So some twins can be so alike that it can be hard to tell them apart at first. Over time, though, it is clear that they have different personalities and characteristics, although they share the same DNA. They may be physically identical, but they aren't exactly the same emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. From a human perspective, twins and other multiples gives us a partial glimpse of the part of the verse that Jesus says is the exact representation of God's being. Jesus is not God's physical twin, but everything else about the two are exactly the same. Jesus perfectly and exactly represents God to us. The word used for exact representation is a Greek word, character. This Greek word closely represents our English word, character, with a C. The Greek word has a K. The Greek word means the precise imprint or the exact copy. In ancient times, a coin would bear the exact image of the emperor stamped with his likeness, which is shown in this coin. In the same way, Jesus is the perfect imprint, an exact image of God. Jesus is not just a mere reflection of God's character. His character didn't just resemble God's character. Jesus is the full, complete, and perfect revelation of God. He is fully God. Jesus is everything that God is. When we look at the life of Jesus in the scriptures, his actions, his teachings, his compassion, his holiness, we are seeing God in the flesh. That is why Jesus could say in John 14, verse 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He also says in John 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. Jesus does not represent God in part. He fully represents the essence of God the Father. Jesus reveals God in a way that no one else can. In fact, to know Jesus is to know God. In Colossians 1, verse 15, Paul states that the Son is the image of the invisible God. This means that Jesus is fully divine. He possesses all of God's attributes, including being eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, holy, and loving. He is not inferior or lesser than God. He is the co-equal with the Father. So why should we adore God? Because he is the God in human form, the perfect reflection of the Father's heart, his character, and will. Let this truth encourage us to worship, to praise, and adore him. Reason two. Jesus Christ sustains all things by his powerful word. So God's word sustains, which means strengthens and supports all things, including our lives. So what we're going to do, we're going to do something a little different, a little bit out of the box. It's going to be a little interactive where I'm going to let you guys answer a question. Now we're going to try this. Now don't let me have to cut someone off. So we're going to work this out. So the question is, okay, here's the question. Briefly describe a time in your life when God's word has especially strengthened or supported you. So what's going to happen, I'm going to have my beautiful assistant, Kevin Jr. and my other beautiful assistant, Denton Graham, they're going to be in the aisle. So the rules of engagement. You're going to raise your hand, and I will call on you. Now, if you speak too long, I will cut you off, because no one wants to be here all day. So, again, the question is, and I definitely want you guys to participate, briefly describe a time in your life when God's word has especially strengthened or supported you. So please, we got her.
A scripture in Psalms that said, be still and know that I am God.
Okay.
I forget the verse, but that's what, you want me to elaborate, why? Or that's it?
That's enough for you, we'll move on. I mean, anyone else? Yes, right there. So again, you're briefly describing a time in your life when God has strengthened or sustained you. God's word.
For me, I think it was a time of camp when I went with the teens.
Oh. She is totally right.
You really need that strength.
Huh? Oak, then Michael.
In Matthew 28:18-20, I never knew that was for all of us. It's not only for certain people or certain theological graduates. That's the way I had a wrong concept of it. When I learned that first time, that it was for me, that was in life. Thank you.
Amen. Mike and then Carolyn.
when I went to preteen camp in 2005 when I was in the Bronx ministry. I thought it was going to be easy because, you know, the first day, it's, you know, just us. But then when the kids came, that's when the work, the real work was. And it was rough with our kids. But God allowed me to persevere, and I think God was with me to help me to see certain things that I didn't see, and I was able to see at the end.
So we're seeing a pattern with camp. So, guys, next year we need counselors. We definitely, please pray. Carolyn.
It won't be camp. I love camp.
And then Danton Carlos in the back.
You can see me? Oh, okay. Hi, good morning. I think about Romans 12 was one of my theme scriptures from last year. It says here, sorry, verse, oh, here it is. Starting in verse 1, it says, Romans 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Amen.
The reason that encouraged me so much is I remember I was going through a time at my job many years ago, well, just not seeing eye to eye with my principal. And, you know, sometimes you just feel like maybe this is not the place for me. And I remember listening to a message for about 6 months that had that scripture, especially verse 2, about not conforming to the pattern of this world. So I was remember actively thinking, let me leave. Maybe I need to go to another place. God said, no, you need to stay. And I'm so glad I did, because I'm going to be here for 20 years and retiring in 3.5 years. And I'm just really grateful that I listened to God's word for that scripture.
Amen, amen. So we're going to have Carlos in the back, because he's way in the back. I'm going to do 2 more, so don't get mad at me.
Is there Reggie?
I will do Michelle in the back. Oh, my wife. I got to put my wife. Sorry, everyone. My wife goes before everyone. Okay. So Carlos and Michelle and my wife. I have no choice. I go home with her. So go ahead, Carlos.
Okay. That, by his will, Beelzebub. So by his will, persevering to read his Bible all the time, I left the junk where I was, and he supported me well enough to be here all the time reading, listening to the word of God, because now I'm in a different place. Thank you.
Amen.
Almost had another accident. Almost 2 years ago, when I got baptized in the Camacho's pool, and I had an anxiety attack in their pool, God was there. He strengthened me and supported me.
Amen. Wow. All right, so I'm going to end with Kim, my wife. Okay, so tell me at home. So... I think Derek? Okay, we'll go Cassandra. Sorry, Lewinsky, you can share with me later. I'm sorry.
Yeah. A scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 2 is my scripture where it says, be completely humble and gentle. I remember when I was going through my conversion and I was like, back and forth with the sisters, because I didn't see that, and I don't see that. And so I'm like, okay, they don't understand me. Let me go call my friend in Jamaica. She understands me. And so I called her, and she says, you know, Cassandra, there's a scripture that came to mind. I think it's in Ephesians. Maybe you want to study that out. It says, be completely humble and gentle. And I'm like, okay. And that really helped me. I mean, that has become my prayer, that God will help me to be completely humble and gentle.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. This exercise, I think we're okay. I almost call on people who are like trying to look away, looking on their phones, but I won't do that. That's my teacher in me. When I see people on their phones, want to call them, but that's a whole nother story. All right. So these are just a few instances when God's word has strengthened and supported people. We could be here all day the sharing about that. Oak shared a scripture that I'm going to share now. We're going to look at Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is there anyone here going through challenges in your life? We all, yes. Does anyone need some extra strength or support? Whether it's spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, or in financial nature, we all do. The great thing is that Jesus can help us all. He doesn't grow weary. He is full of energy to meet all of our needs. Our burdens are not a problem for him. If Jesus upholds the universe by his powerful word, surely he can support you in whatever you are going through. Jesus is not just the co-creator of the universe, but we will see in passages such as John 1:1-3, which says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. Now that passage, I've read it, it's kind of confusing. So just think about it in Cliff Notes version, Jesus is the Word. In addition to making everything, he also actually sustains, upholds, and maintains the universe by his word. The entire cosmos, from the smallest atom to the furthest galaxy, is held together by the power of Christ's word. The word of Jesus is powerful. It can create, sustain, and ultimately redeem all things in his earthly, all things. In his earthly ministry, Jesus constantly demonstrated the power of his word. He healed, he forgave, he cast out demons. He calmed nature's fury and more, all with the power of his spoken words. For instance, in Mark 4:39, Jesus calms the storms with the words, quiet, be still. Even his closest disciples had forgotten how powerful his words were. They were shook, terrified, and asking each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Yes, even the wind and the waves obey the words of Jesus. In Colossians 1:16-17, it states, for in him all things are created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The word of Christ is so powerful that it sustains creation. We live in a world that can seem so crazy, I mean so crazy, so chaotic, and so uncertain. In addition to our challenges, we live at a time where there are natural disasters, wars, poverty, political strife, and many, many other issues. Through it all, we can take comfort in knowing that Christ is still holds all things together. He holds all things together with his words, in his sovereignty, in his power. He is actively sustaining us and everything around us. A couple of related questions to reflect on during your personal time with God are, so this is a couple of questions you can consider. Does Jesus' word sustain my life? Do I turn to his word for strength and support? As I finish this point, I'm reminded of the African-American spiritual. He's got the whole world in his hands. Now, I'm not going to sing it, but I don't think you want to hear my voice. So I'm going to read it as best as I can. So he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the itty-bitty baby in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and, you're going to get me singing. Okay. He got you and me, sister, in his hands. whole world in his hands. So Jesus sustains all things with his word. We adore him for his constant strength and support. He is always there revealing his care through his word. If you can't hear him, it's not because he's not talking. It's because you are not listening by reading his word. He's got us, and he's got the whole world in his hands. All right, reason three. We're almost done, because Marcelo needs to eat lunch. I know that. All right, reason three. Jesus Christ provided purification for our souls. The final part of Hebrews 1, verse 3, the Amplified Version, says, when he himself and no other had, by offering himself on the cross as a sacrifice for sin, accomplished purification from sins and established our freedom from guilt. This is the reminder of the ultimate purpose of Christ's coming, to provide purification for our sins. In Christianity, purification of sins refers to the process by which a person is cleansed from their sins, restoring their relationship with God. This concept is central to the Christian faith and is deeply tied to the idea of repentance, forgiveness, baptism, and grace. The purification of sins involves acknowledging one's wrongdoing, seeking God's forgiveness, and accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as the means by which sins are forgiven. This purification is both a completed work and an ongoing process in the lives of disciples of Christ. This purification leads to our sanctification, which Denton preached about a few weeks ago, and it also leads to our eternal fellowship with God. Jesus, as the perfect sacrifice, cleansed us from sin through his death on the cross. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness and makes us right with God. He reconciled us to God. There is no other way to be reconciled with God except through Jesus. In Colossians 1, verse 20, it states, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This act of atonement is what makes salvation possible. In Christianity, atonement refers to the process by which humanity is reconciled with God through his life, his death, and resurrection. It is a means by which the broken relationship between God and humanity, caused by sin, is restored. Through Jesus' sacrifice, one can be forgiven and receive eternal life. So let's adore Jesus because he took away the guilt and shame of our sins. He did what no one else can do. None of us, and again, none of us, can live a 100% pure, sin-free life. So Jesus gave his perfectly righteous life to purify us. It is such a gift so that we no longer need to beat ourselves up for our sins and mistakes. Jesus finished the work of living a sin-free life so that he could die for us, allowing his righteousness to cover us all. Romans 8, verse 34 says that Jesus is still interceding for us at the right hand of God. This means that Jesus is pleading on behalf of those who have trusted him for salvation. How could we not adore him? In conclusion, Hebrews 1, verse 3 presents us with a wonderful vision of who Jesus is and why we should adore him. First, he is the exact representation of God's being, showing us that to know Jesus is to know God. Secondly, he sustains all things by his powerful word, upholding the universe in his hands. Again, he has the whole world in his hands. Lastly, he has provided purification for our sins. To adore Jesus, you must get to know him for yourself. If you're visiting with us today, I encourage you to look at Jesus' life in the Bible. If you came with someone today, ask them for suggestions regarding what passage you start reading. When we study the life of Jesus, it includes his teachings and his sacrifice. God reveals his heart to us in the most personal and intimate ways possible. That is how we grow in our personal relationship with him. I pray that as we reflect on Hebrews 1, verse 3, our worship and ultimately our adoration of Christ will increase. Jesus is not just a historical figure. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher or a religious leader. He is the Son of God. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. He is the Savior of the world and our Messiah. Let us adore him. Let us trust him and live in this light of his glory and grace. May our lives reflect his love, grace, and truth as we see in him. And as we end, out of gratitude of Jesus, let us think of one way to express our adoration for him this week. It could be through a song. It could be through poetry. It could be serving those less fortunate to you. It could be through prayer, or it could be through hospitality. It also could be through forgiving someone. All these things could show our adoration for him. Be creative, do whatever you think is best, but let us all remember who he is. Why should you adore Christ? Count the ways. Amen. So right now we have a special announcement. So if Denton and Pablo could approach the stage.